ورحمة الله وبركاته. Congratulations to all of you, to all the Muslims, to all the oppressed worldwide on this auspicious occasion of the birth of the Savior of mankind, the 12th Imam, successor to the Prophet, our Imam, the universal Imam, al-Imam, المهدي المنتظر عجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف.
اللهم صل على محمد
اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. And we will celebrate, inshallah, this occasion on Saturday night, beginning with Salat, Salatul Maghribain. And inshallah, we will see you Saturday night for this occasion of the Milad of our 12th Imam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyina. وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. Before the month of Ramadan, we're going to have three sessions, including tonight's session. Tonight, next Thursday, and the Thursday after that. These are three Thursdays before the month of Ramadan, where we're going to conclude, inshallah, Surah Yunus. So by Thursday, the last Thursday before Ramadan, we conclude Ayah 109 in Surah Yunus. And after the month of Ramadan, we begin a new chapter, inshallah, of the Holy Quran. So tonight, we will discuss verses 94, Surah Yunus, from 94 till 98, inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فإن كنت في شك مما أنزلنا إليك فاسأل الذين يقرؤون الكتاب من قبلك فاسأل الذين يقرؤون الكتاب من قبلك لقد جاءك الحق من ربك فلا تكونن من الممترين ولا تكونن من الذين كذبوا بآيات الله فتكون من الخاسرين إن الذين حقت عليهم كلمة ربك لا يؤمنون ولو جاءتهم كل آية حتى يروا العذاب الأليم فلولا كانت قرية آمنت فنفعها إيمانها فنفعها إيمانها إلا قوم يونس لما آمنوا كشفنا عنهم عذاب الخزي في الحياة الدنيا ومتعناهم إلى حين صدق الله العلي العظيم. فإن كنت في شك مما أنزلنا إليك. O Prophet, if you have doubt concerning that which we have sent down upon you, then ask those who recite the book. The book here means the Torah and the Gospel, not the Quran. Ask those rabbis and priests, the scholars of Judaism and Christianity, who recite the book, meaning in this context, the book, the Torah and the Gospel, before you, who was before the Prophet? Before the Prophet was Jesus with the Gospel, and Moses before him with the Torah. Now, can the Prophet has doubt about the book, the Quran? I'm asking you this question. Can you think Prophet Muhammad, who God chose him to deliver this book to mankind, would he himself has doubt about this book? Meaning that, would he think one day that this is not the revelation of God? Would that happen to him? What do you say, yes or no?
No.
If no, then why God says to him, if you have doubt? If you have doubt about this book. فَإِن كُنْتَ فِي شَكٍّ. If you have doubt, then ask those who came before you about the authenticity of this book. Why does God say to him, ask the scholars of Judaism and Christianity, those who read the Torah and the Gospel? Why did he say this to him? What is your explanation to this? Do you have an answer? You said to me that the Prophet cannot have doubt about the Quran because God chose him to deliver this book. Correct. But then if he does not have doubt about this Quran, why the Quran tells him, فَإِن كُنْتَ فِي شَكٍ, if you have doubt about what we sent to you, then ask others. Why does God say to him? Exactly. Ahsant, Abai Haider. My friends, we learn the Quran, not just how to read the Quran and how to pronounce it. We learn the meaning of the Quran. The meaning is more important. The meaning, this is why we have this tafsir class for the last 21 years. Since 1996, we have this tafsir every Thursday. So we learn the verses of the Quran. So when we read them, we understand them. This book is to be understood. If we don't understand it, we are wasting our time. We have to understand exactly what God said to the Prophet. And these are one of the tricks in the Quran. That someone comes to you, a non-Muslim, and he says, hey, come here. You say Muhammad is a good man, honest man. He is truthful. If he's truthful, how does your Lord say to him in your book that you have doubts about this book? What is your answer? You have to have an answer, convincing answer. If you tell him, I don't know, it's a big shame that you are a Muslim and you know nothing about your book. Or if you give him the wrong answer, it's even a bigger shame that you don't know the right answer and you pretend that you know the answer, but you give the wrong answer. So you must know the right answer. What is the right answer? Listen to the answer. The answer in one line, brief. This verse is a Quranic style, Quranic approach. When the Quran wants to admonish someone, he does not address him directly. He addresses the people indirectly. This is a polite way. Why? Because the Quran does not want to embarrass people. Does not want to embarrass people. So in the Arabic literature and the Quranic literature, the Quranic style, the Quranic approach, this is very common. When God wants to speak to Fulan, he says that indirectly, so he speaks to the Prophet. But when the Quran speaks to the Prophet, he does not mean the Prophet himself, he means others. He's passing the message through the Prophet to others. So God is not telling the Prophet, you Muhammad, you have doubts. No, he says, for those who have doubt, for those in your community who have doubt about this book, this is the answer. فَإِن كُنْتَ فِي شَكٍ, if you have doubt, it is not meant the Prophet himself has a doubt. Impossible for the Prophet to have a doubt. Can you find a teacher who teaches physics or chemistry or mathematics, and he goes to the class and he teaches the classroom and then he has doubts about this subject? He did not understand it. Do you accept him as a teacher? You pull him out of the classroom. You tell him, come on. You don't believe in this subject. How do you teach it to others? Prophets and messengers, they are well aware and in full confidence about what they are teaching. They have no doubt about it. No hesitation. No shek. No suspicion. And this is exactly what God said about Prophet Muhammad. God said, with this book, لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ, your heart, fu'ad, is going to be strengthened with this book. What does that mean? Your heart is strengthened with the book. It means you have no doubt about it. You have no single doubt about any verses, any ayat of this book. He's the first believer in the book. How can he have a doubt? He cannot have a doubt. But Allah is addressing others. In Arabic, we have a proverb. مثل ضرب المثل إياك أعني واسمع يا جار. I speak to you, okay? I speak to this person, but I'm speaking to my neighbor, okay? I don't mean for the neighbor to hear. I mean someone else to hear me. And this is what we use sometimes. Sometimes you want to speak to your brother, but you don't speak to him directly. You speak in general terms. You want to speak to your wife, but you are too afraid of your wife, alhamdulillah. So you speak to your sister. You tell your sister, no, we have to do this. But you mean not your sister, you mean your wife. So she gets the message. But believe me, she would never get the message, whether you speak directly or indirectly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet, and through him to us and to those who are doubters, those who have doubt, those who think sometimes that maybe this is not the revelation of God. Who says this? God sent this book. So he says to them during the time of the Prophet, if you have doubt about this book and about the Prophet being the messenger of God, go and ask. Ask whom? Those who are well aware of the Torah and the Gospel. Why? Because we put in the Torah and the Gospel, both of them, they speak about the Quran and they speak about the arrival of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Fas'al alladhina yaqra'un al-kitaba min qablik. Go and ask those scholars who recite the book. What book? Torah and Gospel, not the Quran. Why do we say Torah and Gospel? Min qablik, the books that came before the Quran. What were the books that arrived before the Quran? The scriptures. The Gospel, and before the Gospel, the Torah. فَاسْأَلِ الَّذِينَ يَقْرَؤُونَ الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَقَدْ جَاءَكَ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكَ. The truth has come to you from your Lord. فَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُمْتَرِينَ. Do not be among those who are disputers and doubters. Mumtari, who's Mumtari? Mumtari is the one who knows the truth, is well aware of it, he knows what is right and what is wrong, but yet he disputes and he argues and he rejects. This is called Mumtari. فَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُمْتَرِينَ. Allah says, when you see the truth, embrace it, accept it. Do not waste more time. Do not argue. The truth has came to you from your Lord. So don't keep disputing and arguing and wasting your time and the time of the others. But we have some people in this life, when they see the truth, they don't accept it. They see it, they don't accept it. Why? Because they have something called what? Inad. Inad. Inad is a sort of arrogance. A sort of arrogance when someone sees what is right, but he does not accept the right. He insists on his own wrongdoing. This is called inad. Rebellion. Have you seen some children who know this is wrong, they should not do this, but still they do it? This is rebellion. This is not only for children. Sometimes people, men in their 40s and 50s and 70s, they do have this sort of disease. فلا تكونن من الممتلين. Now Allah is saying to the Prophet that the scholars of Judaism and Christianity, they know about this book because we wrote it in their own books. It came to them. It came to them. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Al-Baqarah is chapter 2, verse 146. الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ. Those Christians and Jews that we have given them the book, which is the Gospel, Injil, and the Torah, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. They will recognize the Prophet as they recognize their own children. Can someone does not recognize his children? If others do not recognize them, the parents are the first one to recognize their own children. I have a nephew who has a twins. And each time I go to Karbala, I get confused between them, between the names. One day I said to him, to my nephew, I said to him, how do you recognize between them? He said, because I'm the daddy, you are not the dad. I'm their father. So the father definitely recognizes who is who. Allah says, the leaders of Judaism and Christianity who read their books, which is Torah and Injil, they know exactly about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
They know the minute details about him. All details about him. As they recognize their children, they know all the details about their own children. يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاهُمْ. Then why they don't believe in him? The answer is in the Quran. Why they don't believe in him? وَإِنَّ فَرِيقًا مِّنْهُمْ لَيَكْتُمُونَ الْحَقَّ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. A group of them, not all of them, they knowingly conceal the truth while they recognize it. Knowingly they conceal the truth. Not by mistake. Knowingly. وَإِنَّ فَرِيقًا مِّنْهُمْ لَيَكْتُمُونَ الْحَقَّ. Definitely they conceal the truth while they recognize the truth. They know it. Now this disease does not belong to people of other religions. It does also belong to people of the Islamic faith. Some Muslim scholars, they know the truth. They know the truth about Islam. They know the truth of what happened to the Prophet at the end of his life. They know the truth that the Prophet did not leave the Ummah, the nation, the community without leader. But they still deny that. They don't believe in it. They knowingly conceal it. So unfortunately this disease is found in every group, in every religion, in every community. People, they see the truth, but they are not willing to accept it. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam, Imam Ali says, the most difficult task for a human being, what is the most difficult task? Is to accept the truth. This is very difficult. Especially if the truth goes against his own interests. his own dunya, his own business, his own position. If it goes against his position and his salary, then he's not willing to accept. He would conceal it. You know, if ulama and scholars, they do not conceal the truth today, the entire people of earth would have been believers in God. The problem is not with the people, the problem is with the scholars. For their own sake, for their own dunya, so he stays in this position, they don't, you know, fire him, he doesn't speak the truth. Allah says, if you make yourself a scholar, you have to have shaja'ah, you have to have the guts. Speaking the truth. فَلَا تَخْشَوَ النَّاسِ وَخْشَوْنِي. Allah says, do not fear the people. You have to fear me. You are accountable before me. People are not the one who are giving you food and sustenance and health. It's me. Why do you fear people? You have to be independent. You have to speak the truth. And don't worry. When Allah asked the Prophet ﷺ to appoint Imam Ali on the day of Ghadir, the Prophet said to Jibreel, Ya Jibreel, you know among us there are some people who hate Ali. And they're going to hate me if I say to them that after me is going to be Ali. They cannot take it. There are many bigots in my community. Allah said to the Prophet, Wallahu ya'asimuka min al-nas. Oh Muhammad, don't worry, Allah is going to protect you. You must deliver this message with full courage, with full honesty. Your job is to deliver, and my job is to protect you. Wallahu ya'asimuka min al-nas. Go and deliver the message. We should not wait for people's approval. Well, people are going to like what I said or dislike. This is hypocrisy. In that case, I'm not working for God. I'm working for myself. Allah says, you work for me, you deliver what I'm asking you to say. If people have good hearts, good intention, they would accept. If people believe in politics, they are sick, they are hypocrites, they're not going to accept. This is their problem. فَاسْأَلِ الَّذِينَ يَقْرَؤُونَ الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَقَدْ جَاءَكَ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكَ فَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُمْتَرِينَ وَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Again, this is addressing the Prophet. But in reality, Allah is addressing us, passing the message through the Prophet to us, so we can listen to it, we can hear it. He says, وَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ. Do not be among. Do not be among those who deny and reject the signs of God. فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. You're going to be among the losers. Sometimes a person loses his home, sometimes his business, sometimes his car, but sometimes he loses himself or herself. That's the biggest loss. The biggest loss. If they give you the whole dunya, in your backyard. But then you lose yourself. You are not gaining anything, believe me. Because you leave everything and you leave. And you go. We leave everything behind. All our wealth, all our money, all our property, we leave it. And we stand before God naked. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. With good deeds. See how many people are buried every day. Go to the cemetery. Many people are buried every single hour. They don't take anything with them. It's left. We take one thing, our amal. The amal, we can take it with us. Everything else is out. They don't allow you to carry it with you. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. So let's do something positive that we make God happy about us. Why are we worried always about people? People are not happy, people are not okay with me. We wait for people's approval always. This is not good. And people are not going to approve you. Believe me. If you wait for people's approval, that day would never show up. Work for God's approval. Live Allah. God's satisfaction. When God is okay with you, that is a happy day. A happy day in your life when you make God okay with you and satisfied with you. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ حَقَّتْ عَلَيْهِمْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah says there are some people that if you kill yourself to bring them to the truth, still they would reject you. They would not accept you. So don't waste your time. I know a person that when I ask him, why don't you come to the mosque? He says, because my wife is not happy with that. Not only he does not come to the mosque, he does not even pray at home. Why? Because he does not want to make his wife upset. Her Majesty will get upset if he prays at home. Because she doesn't like religion. She doesn't want him to be religion. She wants him to be secular. So he does not pray. He makes God angry for the sake of the wife, that one day that wife is going to divorce him and split half of the wealth and take half of the wealth for herself. Believe me. That wife who has no value, who has no respect for her husband, let alone God, forget about God. She does not even respect her husband. She doesn't allow, she see how she's controlling him that he cannot stand 5 minutes before his Lord. She does not allow him to stand 5 minutes before his Lord. Is this respect? Is this marriage? This is a slavery. This person has enslaved himself to his wife. Allah says such people, don't waste time with them. Don't be afraid of your wife. Some people, they said to God, bye, I don't know you. I don't want you. Leave me alone. Some people said this from day one. They don't want God. So don't run after them. Don't. Respect your dignity and your honor. That's it. And God said from day one, I'm not going to force anyone to accept me. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. If you want to believe, you are welcome. If you want to disbelieve, you are welcome. But wait for the day of judgment. There is a day called Day of Judgment. يوم القيامة وقفوهم إنهم مسؤولون. There is a day of judgment. Yes, here you are free. Here you are free to choose. But with this choice, there is responsibility. There is accountability. You have to be answerable. You have to answer God. وَقِفُوهُمْ إِنَّهُمْ مَسْئُولُونَ. We're going to ask them about everything they adopted, everything they followed, everything they believed in. We're going to ask them on that day. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ حَقَّتْ عَلَيْهِمْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ. Those people that the word of your Lord has come due on them. Meaning, they have no U-turn to go back to the Lord. لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Those people are never going to believe in God. So leave them. وَلَوْ جَاءَتْهُمْ كُلُّ آيَةٍ حَتَّى يَرَوُ الْعَذَابَ الْأَلِيمِ. Even if we send to them every single verse, every single wake-up call, still they are not going to believe in God. And then God gives the story of a community who were disbelievers, but when they saw the sign shook their foundations and they went back to their Lord. What community is that? Ahsant. The community of Jonah. Jonah in the Bible and Yunus in the Quran, and he has another name, nickname actually. Wadhan-Noon. Noon, what is Noon? Noon in Farsi? Naan. Bread. But what is in Arabic? Huh? Noon? Is the whale. The whale. Why he's Dhun-Noon? Dhun-Noon يعني صاحب النون. The person of the whale. What happened to him? He ended up where? In the belly of the whale. And this story is mentioned in the Old Testament too, not only in the Quran. There's a story is there. وَذَنُّونِ إِذَّهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا فَظَنَّ أَلَّا نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ. This prophet, Jonah or Yunus, he was the prophet of what city? You know the city? The city is very popular nowadays. Always in the news. You hear it every single day. Huh? Mosul, Mosul in North Iraq. فالله sent him إلى مائة ألف أو يزيدون. The population of Mosul, or the ancient name of Mosul, is Nineveh. Nineveh was 100,000 at that day. At that day, imagine, thousands of years ago, it was 100,000 people in that city. So he kept inviting them, and they kept rejecting him, ridiculing him, making fun of him. Until two people accepted him. Out of 100,000, only two people, one of them, accepted him out of understanding and conviction and ilm. The other accepted him emotionally. He felt sorry for him. He said, okay, I will accept your invitation. One of them was alim, the other was jahil, ignorant. And Yunus, he was also short-tempered, like all Iraqis, alhamdulillah. So the only one who had patience right to the end was Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm telling you. Who did not curse his community. Who did not ask Allah to send punishment on his community. While his community throwing stones at him left and right, rocks, rocking him, he said, Allahumma ihdi qawmi. O God, forgive them. O God, guide them. فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. They are unaware. Give them guidance. Give them awareness. That was his response, the Prophet. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. His mercy, his love, his compassion. But unfortunately, we the Muslims, we don't follow him. We don't follow his love, his forgiveness, his patience. We don't follow. We fight. We always fight. We are aggressive. So two people believed in Jonah and Yunus. Yunus, when he saw that the vast community does not believe in him, وَذَنُّونِ اِذَّهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا. He left his community in what? In anger, frustration. He said, I wasted my time on those guys. I wasted my life. I'm going to leave them. He left his work. He went where? He walked all the way until he reached the sea. He walked days and nights, frustrated, unhappy with his community, until he reached the sea. He saw a boat, he boarded the boat in Syria, on the Syrian coast. He went from Mosul all the way to Halab to the Syrian coast. He boarded the boat and he left his community. He doesn't know what happened to them. At that time, no WhatsApp, no, you know, nothing, no communication. So Allah said, I'm going to punish this community. So Allah sent to them cloud, heavy cloud, but there were balls of fires in these clouds. Usually the cloud carries, you know, rain, hail, rain, but this type of a cloud was fiery cloud. So when they saw this, they realized that something is wrong. Jonah was right. Jonah, when he told us, he kept telling us that God is going to punish you, God is going to punish you, but we did not believe in him, we ridiculed him, he's right. Look at the fire. So they run after him. Where is Jonah? Where is Jonah? They came to his house, they knocked at the door, nobody is there. Nobody is there, nobody answered. They realized Jonah has left them. So where they go? First they went to this guy who was Jahil. Who was unaware, he did not have knowledge, he did not have the right answer. They came to him, they knocked at the door, they said to him, you are one of the believers in Jonah. He said, yes, I'm one of his friends. They said, where is he? He said, I don't know, don't ask me. You have to get punished. They said, wait a minute, but we have children, we have animals, we have women, we have elderly. So please tell us, where is he? He said, I'm not going to tell you until you all die, you perish. So they left him in despair. They went to the other house, the house of the alim scholar. And this is the result of it, see? When you learn, your attitude changes. Your reaction changes. They came to him, they said to him, where is Jonah? He said, what do you want from him? They said, we came to repent. He said, إِلَّمْ يَكُنْ يُونُسُ مَوْجُودٌ. فرب يونس موجود. If Jonah has left, his Lord would not leave you. His Lord is available. Go to his Lord. So they said, what should we do? He said, go to Allah. Allah is available. Go to him. Go to the desert. Take your women. Take your children. Take your animals. Separate between the mothers and the kids. Let all cry and weep. And go to God. Tell them we are sorry and God is forgiving and merciful. God is not the God of grudge or punishment. He wants you to wake up. So Allah says, the only story of a community who woke up at the last minute. فَلَوْلَا كَانَتْ قَرْيَةٌ آمَنَتْ فَنَفَعَهَا إِيمَانُهَا. The only village, the only community that they, last minute, they repented, are the people of Jonah. إِلَّا قَوْمَ يُونُسْ لَمَّا آمَنُوا. Once they came back to us, كَشَفْنَا عَنْهُمْ عَذَابَ الْخِزْيِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. We removed the punishment of disgrace from them. We shielded them. We protected them in this life. وَمَتَّعْنَاهُمْ إِلَى حِينَ. And we allowed them to live for some time to come. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات. إن شاء الله tomorrow صلاة الجمعة at 1 PM and Saturday night إن شاء الله we gather here at 7:45 for the Salat first and then the celebration of Imam Mahdi عليه الصلاة والسلام. And inshallah, we want you to help out your center with your donation. Each and every person of you can prove that he or she are the lovers and the supporters of Imam Mahdi by supporting this masjid. The name of the masjid, the name of the institution is IECOC, but the name of this masjid is what? Al-Imam al-Mahdi. So support your masjid when you come. Give. Teach yourself to give, not just to take. We always take. This masjid is open for you 365 days, and he gives the masjid. Now, on that night, you have to give, not just take. Life is based on giving and taking, not one way. One way does not work. One way, we're going to lose. If we don't give, we're going to lose emotionally, spiritually. We lose, believe me. But when you give, in giving, there is healing for yourself. There is inner happiness when you give. Because you have to do your duty. When you do your duty, you feel happy. So try to give. And inshallah, we're going to give certificates for the graduates of Ahlul Bayt Islamic Seminary, who studied for almost 2 years, and they graduated, many of them, alhamdulillah. So we're going to give them these certificates on Saturday night. Oya Baziri, stay, don't go. I have your certificate here, inshallah. وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين.